This is CliffCentral.com.
But right now, let's turn our attention to Anthea and see what's going on in the markets and with your money. And hopefully for all those people who've had a shitty December thanks to Steinhoff, things start to improve. Certainly the Rand is looking as strong as an ox this morning. But let me not tell you all of that. Let's turn to Anthea for the info.
Ba-ba-da, ba-da, ba-ba, ba-ba-da. She works hard for my money, Anthea. She works hard for your money, Anthea. She works hard for her money, so we better treat her right, Anthea. She works hard for her money.
All right, what do we got here? I'm done with that. Have you had enough yet? We had enough. All right, Anthea, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Good morning, everybody.
Good, hi.
Christmas spirit and all? Yay.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. All right, so...
Shall we finish talking about this Bitcoin? Are you excited that the Bitcoin futures have started trading on the CBOE, Chicago Board of Options Exchange?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the derivatives exchange.
Right.
Is everyone very excited about it? And that's why it went to $20,000. I have another theory on this, by the way. So, you know, please, can I have to tell you? So, the... One of the things about Bitcoin that everyone says is why it's going up is because it has limited supply.
Yeah.
Except now futures are trading. So instead of buying Bitcoin, you can now trade futures, which means it increases supply. Why is this Bitcoin going to 20,000?
Well, Anthea, I've said it to you before. I'm not that interested in it based on the fundamentals that you're looking for, because I don't think those exist. I don't think they exist for gold either. We've discussed gold before, and you've said before, you think gold is for pirates.
That's right.
Right. So,
Bitcoin is for?
Probably lunatics
it's
and
for
nerds.
Now. It's for now, Anthea. It's for now.
Okay.
We're not going to get into this.
In the now.
My point is just, we have been subject to the vagaries of governments and central banks for how long?
Yeah, I get that.
All of human history. And if I sell you something, there are always middlemen. There's a tax implication. There's a fee that the bank charges. There are all kinds of things. If I want to send 10,000 Rand to Anthea, it's not just me giving Anthea 10,000 Rand. But if I have Bitcoin and she accepts Bitcoin, it's 10,000 Rand.
Yeah, and you see SARS is going after Bitcoin as well now.
Oh, no, they must just piss off. I mean, I'm going to say to people again, go for, there's a cryptocurrency called Monero. They can't even see what's going on in there.
Okay.
Get your money into Monero. Get away from the crows and vultures at SARS. Anyway, so that's the only reason I care, because I don't want government or other kinds of interference in my money. That's all.
And I understand that.
That, I think, makes perfect sense. The rest, you know, you could probably make a very good case for why we should stay away from the stuff. Or there are people who could make a very good case for why we should go into it. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I just know that I like the fact that it can't be regulated by some authority. Everybody's the same in the Bitcoin world. All right, so let's start off, if you don't mind, with the Rand, because that's looking extraordinary. I think everybody's hoping... on the markets anyway, that Cyril wins, because that'll justify this the strength.
Indeed, I guess that's exactly what's happening to the Rand. Last time I checked, it was 13.07 to the dollar. And the only reason for that, honestly,
it dipped to 12-something, right?
It was below. I saw something that it had dipped below 13 last night. But you know what happens. That's on very, very thin trade, right?
Yeah.
So it won't take much for it to move. And it's going to be volatile. In fact, the only reason I'm in work today is because of this ANC conference election.
Now,
see what's going to happen.
What do you have to do at work today when you're monitoring all of this?
So the first thing I'm going to do when I go into work is buy some banks, because at 13.07, the banks are going to fly today. The banks are going to go off the charts. Of course, if that turns and NDZ wins, then the banks are going to plummet. So I just need to be there to manage the volatility in my portfolio today. So obviously, stronger Rand, good for local shares like banks and retailers, but a weaker Rand, good overall, mm-hmm. because our market is 70% Rand hedged. Well, the top 40 shares at least are 70% Rand hedged. Although we've lost one of those, Steinhoff, so... Maybe not so, not 70%,
yeah, don't
just
say.
Slightly less. Do you know, the market's been incredibly busy still. I would have thought by now trade would have slowed down, but actually on Friday we had a $4.4 billion day.
Wow.
And That's huge, right? Mm. And there's no real reason for it. I mean, granted, on Thursday, Christo Visser had a R1 billion margin call. Now I have to explain to you how this works.
What is that?
Okay. So when you buy shares, you take your R100 and you say, I'm going to buy R100 worth of shares. If you buy CFDs, contracts for difference, or futures, or any sort of leveraged product, you can take your R100 and buy R1,000 worth of shares. And basically, that's what Christo Visser did on the 7th of November. He bought R120 million worth of shares, but obviously he bought it in CFD, so he leveraged up. I don't know what the leverage was. I'm not his trader, unfortunately. But I'm guessing it probably was 10 times, so you basically borrowed money from the banks. Now, with a CFD, contract for difference, when you take your R100 and you say, I want R1,000 worth of shares, please, you put down your R100, your 10% margin. If tomorrow the share moves to R999 or the value of your shares moves to R999, you need to put in that extra R1. That is called a margin call. There's a movie about this, margin call.
Okay.
You need to go and watch the movie, really good movie. And so if the share then moves to R1,002, basically you've got a cash position of an extra R3 because it's now moved in your favor, right? No margin call. But if the share falls, you have to keep topping up this margin. So basically Visa's margin was R1 billion. Ooh. So you can only imagine. You go work that out.
Ooh.
Let's assume the share price was... Where was the share price on Thursday? R12.
Do we know what he was buying?
Steinhoff.
Oh, no.
This is on Steinhoff because he upped his position in Steinhoff. So the question, of course, do you think or don't you think that Visser knew what Marcus Joerste
was
doing?
Clearly not. Because if he knew...
He wouldn't have put his...
That's his whole estate.
So it's not his whole estate, unfortunately. He's got a way to go.
Well, it's R1 billion. I mean, who wants to owe someone R1 billion?
And so what happens to close out your position, what the traders and the banks do, the stockbrokers, they actually, unless you give them cash, they start selling your shares. And I think whether or not Visser said, you know what, I just cannot access R1 billion in cash like that. Or whether he said, you know what, I've just actually had enough of this nonsense. Sell those damn shares. I'm done here. So we don't know what the background to it is, but basically they sold R1 billion worth of his shares. And if the share keeps falling, then they'll have to sell more shares or he'll have to come up with the cash.
Mm. And he's selling them at such a loss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing.
Wow,
but you
poor
know,
him.
For anybody, R1 billion in cash is a lot of money to suddenly access.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, you can't just walk into your bank and go, can I just have a, I mean, he's worth a lot of money, but that doesn't sit in cash.
No.
That sits in
assets. And anyone who, now people would be looking at him askance if he asked for R1 billion. If he'd asked him 3 months ago, people would have been falling over themselves to lend him money.
That's what they did on the 7th of November. They were falling over. No, please, you want to buy R120 million?
Yeah, have some money.
In margin, 10 times leverage, we'll lend it to you.
Now it's costing everybody. All right, so let's talk about NASPASH too.
Yes, because they had their first investor day in New York City on Tuesday.
Mm.
It didn't work, I'm afraid. The share closed on Friday at about R3,310. So the big question is, this isn't a results presentation. So there's no numbers. There were a few numbers. Excuse me. But it's not about the financial statements. It's about strategy, about where the company's going. And they clearly, there was a lot of talk about, or I should say non-talk, I call it non-talk, about this unlocking of the 40% discount that the share is now trading at. We've spoken about this before, right? Where Tencent, the value of Tencent is more than the value of Naspers. So if they unbundled their Tencent part of it, and just listed that, and then separately listed all the other almost venture capital businesses or tech businesses, you know, the advertising and OLX and Takealot and all the other stuff they're invested in, MultiChoice even, then there would be at least, and this was when the share was R3,800 a share, the share would be at least R1,000 more. So you unlock it, both shares go up in value, and you make an extra R1,000 per share, which is basically what? 25% almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The market really didn't like it because actually they didn't come back. There was nothing. There just was, I'm afraid, very disappointing. You know, they said, Chris Baker said, we know there's a discount. We want to do something about it. And that was it. That's all he said.
Yeah,
like, and well, what are you going to do about it?
He's also in a situation, he can't say too much because he might be in some trouble.
Yeah, he's got to be careful. And
he's
then
he's got to be really careful what he says.
And then, of course, on the multi-choice thing, same story. They initially, Chris Baker had said, you know what, this multi-choice drama, it's not such a big deal. Just get over it. However, multi-choice spoke on Tuesday and said, or Wednesday, whenever it was, and said, actually, you know what, we are going to take this very seriously. So there was a slight change in tone over the multi-choice saga, which I think we're very glad about. But I think South Africa's like really corruption sensitive at the moment. And so I'm worried about this Naspers share. Really worried about it. I still have my holdings and I might cut it down a little bit because I'm watching it carefully. And you, I mean, look what happened with Steinhoff. All you need is another story of fraud or some wrongdoing or that the US legal company, what they called Pomerantz, to come back and say, we're investigating, we found this, that, and the other, and then the share goes down.
Yeah. All right. Can we talk about that Neil Frohneman from Sibanye and what he's doing? He's gone shopping.
He has.
I saw this in the news on Friday.
Unstoppable, this boy.
You have to be very brave. We've said this before. He's been buying up mining assets. Mining is not the greatest place to be. It has improved slightly since we last saw him gaining assets and going out there on a shopping spree. But now he's gone and decided to buy Lonmin.
Of all the companies to buy, Lonmin.
The most controversial. Marikana, everything else.
The one that's already had to do a couple of rights issues, needed cash from shareholders, PIC, Coronation, all the big guys, and he's gone to buy it. So the one thing Neil said was that actually this is not new and it's not a Lonmin rescue plan. Actually, they'd been talking about it since 2014.
Wow.
So that's interesting that it's only coming to pass now. So for every Lonmin share, shareholders will receive 0.967 Sibanye. By the way, it's Sibanye Stillwater. I still am not over that. And isn't that the whole point? Is that he bought Stillwater, which was a huge issue. He had to do a rights issue, took on huge amounts of debt, and he's going shopping again. Man,
it's incredible.
It's either going to work spectacularly or fail spectacularly. I mean, those are the options, quite frankly. I mean, at the end of the day, this Lonmin deal will not be earnings and cash flow accretive until 2021. That's another 4 years away, at least 4 years away. And when all is said and done, Sibanye Stillwater shareholders will have a dilutionary effect of 11.3%, because don't forget they're paying with it, they're paying for Lonmin with their shares, so they have to issue new shares. So if you held 100 Sibanye Stillwater shares, you would suddenly have 88.7, I mean, the equivalent. So
Correct. That
dilutionary effect, is it worth it? Because you now have to wait 4 years before this deal is earnings accretive. And there's almost no guarantee on that. I mean, they think it will be that. So, very brave, man.
While we're talking about companies buying companies, PPC's deal's not gone very well.
And PPC is now on its own.
All their suitors have left.
They've
been left like Miss Havisham in Great Expectations.
With cobwebs on their wedding dress.
Exactly.
In the big hall.
Yes, exactly.
And they don't have a benefactor or a kid with a benefactor, or whatever the story was. So, Lafarge Holcim withdrew their bid. The share rolled over completely last week, traded below 6 Rand. I do still have some PPCs, and I didn't sell immediately. So I took some profit when the share traded at 7.50. We bought them below 6, just below 6. But I think, fundamentally, PPC is probably worth a little bit more than it is than where it's trading at the moment. So I probably will sell out my shares if they go over 6, 6.20, maybe 6. I'm hoping for a 6.50, but I'll see how it trades before I make that decision. At least I took half my profits and ran.
Mm.
I was glad about that.
Well done. All right, Standard Bank?
So I guess if the Rand's at 13.07, there is a bank you want to buy. It's going to be Standard Bank. They have a new CEO, which is all very exciting, Lungisa Fuzile.
Okay, he was from Treasury.
That's right, yes. And
yeah, that's a good one to buy.
Indeed, everyone's very excited about that. He's head of Standard Bank South Africa, though, hey? Tsim Shabalala still head of Standard Bank overall, the group.
Yes.
Yeah. So just, but a good move because, quite frankly, the CEO was doing, Sim was doing both. So, you know, okay. You kind of.
So this frees him
right.
up a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think with the Rand where it is, and if Cyril wins today, then I would probably be buying some Standard Banks, maybe some First Rands as well, but Standard Bank's not a bad one.
Okay.
And then the last thing I think we probably need to talk about is that the US raised.
What do we buy if Nkosi Sanat Lamini Zuma wins?
All your Rand hedges.
Okay.
So Richemont, anything that's Rand hedge, basically.
All right.
Yeah. Your mining shares will probably have a bit of a rally, depending. I'm not 100% sure about that. But yeah.
All right.
British American Tobacco. Hopefully our Brits will have a little bounce. Naspers will go through the roof. Naspers will fly. And I see Tencent did a deal this weekend, a really nice deal. So I think Naspers will go up this morning anyway. But if she wins, then we're away to the races.
All right. Okay, anything else you want to
throw? Oh, I was going to tell you that the US raised interest rates by 0.25% last week. Pretty much expected. The vote was 7-2 in favor of the increase. And this is despite inflation still being below the expected 2%. Inflation is still now at 1.7%. But we've been talking about this for a year and a half, how their labor market is now the best it's been in decades.
Sure.
And so they actually didn't really have a choice. So it looks like another 3 interest rate hikes coming up for the US in 2018.
All right.
So Merry Christmas to them. They got an interest rate hike.
Very nice.
It's only because the economy is doing so well, though.
Very
so.
Nice. How lovely for America. All right. Thanks, Anthea.
My pleasure, guys. Cool. Have a great holiday.
This is CliffCentral.com.